The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Yeah, we were just talking about the prank caller. From last segment.
It's Nate.
Here's the best part about that.
I was just thinking the same thing. It's got to be Nate.
You know, like, we have caller ID here. Why can't I go back and figure out who that is and just tweet that phone call with his phone number? Is that illegal? It's got to be, right? You're in management? Come on. I feel like I should be able to tweet out the audio of that phone call and be like, let my guy know how well he did. Here's his phone. We have his name and number. You guys should probably keep that in mind. Also, I just realized that might encourage more people to do it.
Yeah.
Especially people out there would be like, I want a phone call. Well, somebody just got a phone call in the last 5 minutes. You know who it was?
Who?
Brad Stevens. He's your executive of the year.
Oh.
Why?
Why not?
What did he do? What did Brad Stevens do?
He acquired Porzingis.
And Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I guess. Good for him. So now, does this mean Monty McNair is no longer the reigning executive of the year?
It's over. Mike Brown no longer coach of the year, reigning coach of the year.
You know what I find funny about these executive of the year awards, just the last couple? Monty McNair, Zach Kleeman of the Grizzlies the year before, James Jones, Lawrence Frank, John Horst of the Bucks, Daryl Morey, Bob Myers, R.C. Buford, and Masai Ujiri, and then Larry Bird. That goes all the way back to 2010. You know who's never won the Executive of the Year award? Sam Presti. Not once.
Yeah.
And I would take him just about over anybody on that list. But I guess, you know what? A one seed and... you know, sweeping your way through the first round, that's better than executive of the year, right?
He'll take that.
Yeah. All right, the NFL is nowhere near starting, but that doesn't mean it's not in the news. And this is just kind of an aside here, but I think it's a good topic. There's been some broadcasting shakeups in the NFL. Now, the NFL today on CBS, Jason, no longer is going to have Boomer Esiason or Phil Sims. They are now adding Matt Ryan, who will go with Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, and J.J. Watts part-time. That's interesting. Boomer and Phil are mainstays, and I think they're both not always right, but excellent analysts. But you also feel this is a part of, you know, are they basically saying, you know, this is just the natural progression of getting younger?
I mean, I don't know what else it would be. Feels like that's what it is.
And I don't know that that's necessarily better. Now, we've talked about this at length before. In an analyst position, I love the, like, for example, Matt Ryan. Why are you putting him on the, put him in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him in the booth. When you have recently retired quarterbacks, it's the Tony Romo effect. They're invaluable in being able to call out coverages and understand what other teams are doing because they've been playing against him.
And I don't know if that's a preference and maybe a better fit for him to be in studio as opposed to at the games. I don't know. I don't know what he would want. But obviously, he's going to be on that desk with James Brown and the rest of the crew.
Jason Kelce will be added to Monday Night Countdown. That's not a surprise.
He was a hot free agent, right?
Very much so. And his podcast with his brother, who just, by the way, re-upped at about 2 years, $17 million per, Travis Kelce. Their podcast is incredibly successful. And I think I read also Travis Kelce is about to start hosting a quiz show. I actually read this. So they're preparing for life after, and I think that's a good addition. Bill Belichick, this is another interesting thing. I don't know how many – I don't really watch the Pat McAfee show. It's nothing – I just – it's – I'm generally
it's on
not,
his yeah, background. Yeah,
it's on right now, but we work at the same time. I don't have anything against Pat. But I don't know if you caught any of the clips of Bill Belichick on with Pat McAfee for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. You would – on one hand – you would look at Bill Belichick's press conferences and think, oh, he's not. I'd rather watch flies, you know, mate than listen to Bill Belichick. I don't know, Simone, it just came up. But if we played a clip not that long ago of Bill Belichick being asked a fairly innocuous question about long snappers and special teams. You may remember this, Jason. I think it was a 7-minute answer that he went through, just breaking the whole thing down from a CEO perspective as to why it's so important. It's really a cool insight into how he thinks. He's obviously an incredible football mind. And I heard him on with Pat McAfee, and instantly I was like, you know what? Bill Belichick might be the best analyst alive right now. Mm. He is enthralling. And I think part of it, Jason, to be fair, is that we're so used to on to Cincinnati.
Right.
That seeing he's got that E.F. Hutton thing going for him. I don't know if that's going to last, but I really am looking forward to seeing him be a part of these shows.
You know who I felt that same way about that I don't think was quite in the same ilk as Bill Belichick with the media, but could be a little bit sticky, let's say, is Nick Saban. Nick Saban on the draft coverage was really good.
Phenomenal.
And I think in College Game Day, he's going to be great.
I think he's going to be amazing. I think these guys, you know, look, you got to be a certain way on one side. You know, I understand that. But also, I think they said this on the air. It sounds like they're trying to work something out where Belichick will join Pat McAfee on Mondays.
Mm-hmm. And then the Manning cast. So,
And then on the Manning cast as well. So we'll see. You know, hey, look, if Bill's not going to coach this year, screw it.
How much time do you spend on these shows at all? Like the I'm not a big, you know, when NFL Sunday, it's pretty much 10 o'clock is the start, or the red zone starts. I'm not as much, I know who all the people are. I have nothing against all those pre and post and half shows on TV. It's really the games for me.
It's changed for me, if I'm being honest. It's changed for me, especially in the last year, but really over the years. And if I'm being perfectly transparent, it's kind of soccer's fault. Because on Sundays now, what I generally do is you and I are both up at 6 a.m. or earlier every day. I'm generally watching a Premier League game. I just have that on as my new background. And then I'm setting my football lineups and I'm ready to go at 10 a.m.
No pregame shows.
Not a lot.
Which I'm not. Yeah.
I just am not. You know, Now, the pregame shows are always on in my house because my wife rolls out around 8, 9 a.m. And this is just different audiences. She loves the pregame shows because she likes the human interest stories. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go visit with linebacker Fred McGee as he tends to his sister who has been in the hospital for 4 months. And then
after heroically saving a bus full of children.
Right. Yes. And here's
the story.
Yeah. And you get the behind the scenes and all of that. And there's an audience for that. I'm just, you know, it's interesting. I want to know for my pregame show this. I want injuries. I want to know
for fantasy and impact of the game.
Both. Exactly. I want to know who's hurt, who's probably going to play, who is questionable that's been upgraded. And then I want to know trends and tendencies. Like I want to know.
But that's like the Schefter, the Glazer, the insiders.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And let's be honest, you can watch a 2-hour pregame show or you can, and this is where Twitter's great. You can just have alerts set up for the Schefters of the world and the Glazers of the world, and you're going to get all the good nooks and crannies without having to watch the other stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. Like TNT for basketball now, we're talking TNT. Like I just that's an entertaining show for me to watch.
It is.
But like with the NBA on ESPN or whatever ABC, when they've got the panel and Stephen A. and Will, all fine people. But like when Woj is up there, I feel like there's a breaking story.
Right.
And if he talks, I'm like, ooh. Mm. Ooh, contracts talks, right. Struggling with blah, blah, blah. This coach might be.
Yes.
Oh. Like, I always want to listen to that. Yes. But the other stuff, that's fine. It's predicting who's going to win or some theatrics. That's whatever. That's fine.
Well, and you mentioned Woj, and I kind of mentioned this the other day, sort of in jest, but I want to expand it. I'm really serious. Like, Woj has built an amazing brand. Mm-hmm. He is the newsbreaker, and Shams is right there with him. I don't know if it's something ESPN asked him to do. I don't know if he's doing it to curry favor with agents. That may be what's going on too. But if I was his agent, I would tell him straight up, bro, you need to cut out the Fred Smith was optioned to the G League. In fact, you need to cut out the draft tweets. And I'm not talking about if he's going to predict the draft pick. I'm talking about Darko Šumović has agreed to come on into the NBA and enter the draft. I don't. What I need out of Woj is I need breaking news from injury stuff, breaking news when it comes to player movement, coaches fired, awards, all that stuff. I don't need the periphery because eventually I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm getting 9 notifications from Woj today because I have him on alerts. But it's different for the sport. You're right, Jason. Inside the NBA is an outlier. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. That is an I could actually
That's
watch.
An entertaining.
I could watch it like a sitcom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to football pregames, like I said, I want rankings. Give me power rankings. Yeah. Give me injuries. Give me trends. I need to know. Look, if
it's postgame highlights, just highlights.
Absolutely.
What happened in these games? That's it.
But everybody's viewing habits, I think, are different. Not that we're not similar, but. My viewing habits for the NFL have been pretty entrenched for a couple years now. I will watch on two TVs. I will have one TV on red zone and the volume up on red zone. I will have the other TV on whatever the featured game is, and I'll have the volume down. When the 49ers come on, I switch that. I mute red zone, and I put the 49ers on the main TV, and that's how I watch that. If it wasn't for the 49ers, like when we get to Monday night, Thursday night football, my appetite's there, but I don't know how people can watch just one game on a Sunday anymore with everything else going on. Like, I need to know what's going on. And a lot of that's fantasy, but a lot of that's just ADD. I'm trained to watch it like that. Mm-hmm. If there was, and football is built to do that. You can't really do that in baseball. You know, it's difficult. I know they've tried with the round the horn or whatever, but dude, it's you just never know when anyone's going to score.
Right.
And then basketball, everybody's always scoring.
Yes.
You know,
it's perfect for football.
Football is perfect for team, which is why one of the big reasons it does so well. We discount betting and fantasy, but it's also the way the game is presented that is different as well. Also the time of year, man. There's nothing like right when it's fall, it's crispy outside. Maybe you're smoking some meat at 9 a.m. You got a chili on, whatever the hell it is. We'll take a break. Now, that being said, let's build our booth, okay? That is curious. If you could decide who is running the show.
So we're mixing networks.
Absolutely.
Play-by-play, studio.
Who you got? Get them in mind. We'll talk about it next.
Michael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
My problem with this list. This is a tough assignment.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of, it's like, how do I not want Jim Nantz calling a game?
Oh, so are you stuck on play-by-play? Or are you stuck on studio?
I was stuck on play-by-play. And then I just finally copped out and said Kevin Harlan.
Okay.
I love Kevin Harlan. But I love Jim Nantz. I love Ian Eagle.
Hmm.
I really love Al Michaels, but he's fallen off. But if it's Al Michaels on his game, he's my number one.
Okay.
If I knew Al Michaels was on his game right now, he would be my number one.
Oh, he just does not care anymore.
He just doesn't care. You don't know which Al Michaels is showing up. But he still, to me, is the king. If he's on his game, I keep saying that. I'm struggling because there's a lot of really good analysts out there. But does one stick out to me? Like, Adam Archuleta is actually a really underrated analyst, I think. I think he's done a great job. But is he enough to be my favorite? Probably not. Is Daryl Johnston my favorite analyst right now? Or is that just because I usually watch Fox games and I'm used to Daryl Johnston? I know what's easy for me is the rules guy. Give me Mike Pereira.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me Aaron Andrews on the sidelines.
Okay.
But it could be Aaron Andrews. It could be Pam Oliver. It could be a number of them. In fact, our good buddy Joseph Benavidez, his wife Megan Olivi, is now doing Fox games. Oh. She's crossed over from the UFC and she's doing quite well. If I gotta make a call, I feel like whatever decision I make is gonna be the wrong one. But honestly, I love me some Mark Schlereth. Mm. So give me Kevin Harlan and Mark Schlereth.
Okay.
With Aaron Andrews on the sideline and Mike Pereira. That would be my booth.
Mark Schlereth, big Smiths fan.
God.
Anybody studio?
Studio's a little bit different.
Mix and match?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. First off, when it comes to the studio shows, you know, Chris Fowler is a name that comes to mind because he does such a great job. However, I still think of Chris Fowler's college, you know. I probably the right move, if I'm being honest. Now I'm back to, you know, Troy Aikman's actually a really good analyst. Chris Collinsworth gets a lot of crap, but he's actually a really good analyst.
Yes.
All right.
You can keep. Here's my candidates.
Going with.
I'm stuck on my play-by-play. I'm between. I'm going to pick someone that's not incredibly popular for some reason to me.
I almost picked him.
Joe Buck.
I almost picked him.
Or Ian Eagle, but I'm probably going to lean Ian Eagle, even though I feel like that's a tough one, but I'm going to go Ian Eagle.
Let me ask you something about Ian Eagle real quick. Here's where I'm stuck with Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle is about as close to a perfect play-by-play guy as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing bad to say. I'm not. This is
you want the flawed a little bit? A little bit.
Is Ian it's going to sound weird, but you're going to know what I'm talking about. I think Ian Eagle to me is almost too good, too flawless, and I'm not going to say he doesn't elevate the call, but like
he's so witty.
He's right. It's
he speaks to me. I really like Ian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He I can't.
But I'm going to pick Ian Eagle.
Yeah, okay.
And my analysts, I had three names written down. I had Collinsworth, I had Aikman. And actually, I really like Kirk Herbstreit.
I do. You're right.
I don't feel like him with Al Michaels, though, is as good for whatever reason. Two very good entities on their own, but I don't know if that's an Al thing or so.
It is an Al thing. Honestly, I would rather.
Because Herbstreit and Fowler are really good.
I would rather put Herbstreit with, obviously that. There's that. There's college, of course. That's the best one. I would put Herbstreit with either Tirico. I think Herbstreit and Tirico Mike Tirico would be really, really good. And I think Herbstreit and Harlan would be really good too.
Yes, they would.
Yeah. But I hear you.
So I'm gonna go. I'll make a pick. I'll go Ian Eagle and Aikman or Collinsworth. I'll go Ian Eagle and Aikman because I think Aikman is a little less. I think Eagle could maybe pull a little bit more personality out of Aikman. I think.
I know what I was trying to say.
Huh.
Okay, on Ian Eagle. I feel like the right call in a weird way is, did you go Buck and Aikman?
No, I'm going to do Eagle and Aikman.
I think Buck and Aikman, here's the thing about Buck and Aikman. This helps me make my point about Ian Eagle, with no disrespect to Ian Eagle. Buck and Aikman, it automatically feels like a huge game.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that if I hear Ian Eagle, I get that same, goosebumps. It's Pat Summerall.
Right.
It's Brent Musburger.
Now, is that a time thing, though?
Jim Nance. It might be.
He's doing the national game every year for college basketball, and he does high profile NFL.
Yes, it might be. It might. Summerall, Al Michaels.
Well, now Tirico's done the Sunday night game, which is a big, so now he feels like.
And for me, Tirico feels bigger than Eagle.
Right.
And I'm not saying Tirico's better.
Right. It's the platform.
It's the platform, and you tune in, and you're like, when it was Summerall and Madden for your old head, you were like, this is a game.
Yeah.
It could be the Niners and the Lions back when they both, it's a game.
Right.
Anyways, go ahead.
Let's see. Sideline, I'm a really big fan of Lisa Salters and Tom Rinaldi.
Yes.
They're separate. I was thinking Aaron Andrews, but I'm going to go mix those two with Salters and Tom Rinaldi. And then studio, I think my favorite studio host by far is Scott Van Pelt.
I think Van Pelt's
incredible. I'd pick Lewis Riddick. I think he's just brilliant. He's got he breaks down games. He's got the GM angle, former player. I like Nate Burleson too. I don't know who else I'd have in studio. Kind of, to me, studio, I want maybe even Rex. I want to be entertained, learn a little something, have some fun. It's not too serious, that kind of thing. But there's good choices.
There are good choices. Those are very good choices.
I see you got James Brown up there. He's good. Kurt Menefee's good.
I was just, it's
they're all good.
To me, it's James Brown and Kurt Menefee.
I just like Van Pelt so much.
I don't disagree with you.
I think he's brilliant.
I would probably go James Brown, Bill Cowher, Bill Belichick. I have high hopes for him. And Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. A lot of coaching.
I've changed my, you made me change.
What was your studio again? James Brown.
James Brown, Bill Belichick, Cowher, and Bill Belichick.
Jimmy Johnson.
And Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. Wow, what?
There's just a lot of coaches.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. It could be coaches, players.
Yeah, am I missing players?
I mean, who's, J.J. Watt's now on there, Tony Gonzalez. Oh, some of the guys in the Amazon Prime are okay. Fitzpatrick. What's that former Rams lineman? He's not bad.
J.J. Watt might actually be really good.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the Amazon here. Amazon, have LeBron
Richard
James
Sherman,
listed.
Fitzpatrick. I think it's Whitworth.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And Carissa Thompson.
I'm gonna switch. Give me Buck, Aikman, Pereira, and Andrews. Isn't that pretty much the Fox
crew?
The
Fox crew.
That's to me. That's just
okay.
That's big game to me.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought Greg Olsen was good.
I thought Greg Olsen was really good.
I think Tom Brady will be.
I think Tom Brady's going to be fantastic. Yep. I do. I think he's just that polished. And it's also the, he's still close enough to the game.
Yeah.
His IQ's off the charts.
And Romo slid to me because
yes, he did.
He still has some good stuff. But, like, I think the Super Bowl was a classic.
Terrible.
Like, there's just some times where his mistakes are pretty big.
Well, we've talked about it. I think there's a line from the further Tony Romo gets away from the game as a player, the worse he's gotten.
Yeah.
And I think he's got to find his second footing because he is a good analyst, but he can't rely on that part of his game anymore, which was such a huge part. And then, yes, the stepping on the calls during the Super Bowl, all that didn't work out well. I do think Brady will be good. I do think Belichick will be good. I did think Greg Olsen was very, very good.
If you can learn something and be entertaining at the same time, I think to me that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, and don't be cute. You don't have to be cute.
Yeah, but if it is like, and it's not gonna be cute for everybody, but sometimes you're like, hey, that lands well for me.
Sure,
but I don't know what that is.
Well, like when they talk about like when they're all in the studio and they're talking about players getting mossed and Randy Moss is on the panel and everyone's laughing and showing, like it's almost like a Shaqton.
Yeah.
Those are funny anecdotes. And by the way, Randy Moss is also, I did not expect Randy Moss to be a good analyst. Randy Moss is an excellent, excellent analyst. I like that personality. And I like when players are kind of like Richard Sherman, good analyst. I don't mind, I had all coaches on my studio show. But honestly, there's also an argument, too, really, that the setup really should be for football, if they were taking cues, is who's your Ernie Johnson?
Right.
And who's your Shaq? Who's your Kenny? You know, Shaq is, the big man, whatever. Charles is the comedic relief. Kenny is the professor.
Mm-hmm.
EJ is the quarterback. So what is that equivalent for the NFL?
Right.
You know, who is your Kenny Smith? Maybe Nate Burleson.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your comic relief? Who's an ex-player that isn't afraid to laugh at themselves that's currently working in that type of thing?
Well, they don't, not in the same way, but I think the Mannings make fun of themselves. But they're not do their own thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's a, the perfect would be an ex like linebacker or someone that was just feared in the NFL. That, like Dick Butkus was a really good one.
Yeah, he played that role as a
He played that fantastic.
Actor.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's a great conversation. We'll take a break. When we come back, what to watch. We got stuff for you to watch tonight and more as we inch closer to Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins. Very controversial Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins next.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting,
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the program. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Dave.
Gotta love it when my Twitter refreshes right when I'm going to a graphic here. The votes are in for Executive of the Year. Congratulations to Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
as a he won, but there's a little sub thing in there that's quite interesting. Somebody got a first place vote and 5 full points in the voting. Sam Presti was second, had about half the votes of Stevens. He ran away with it. How about Monty McNair getting a first place vote?
The only vote he got.
The only vote he got.
Got him a 10th place finish in the voting.
Now, look, I'm not trying to be a wise guy here.
But we know who voted for him.
Wait, who voted for him? I don't think you can vote for yourself. That's your insinuation. What would be the thought process behind that? And I don't mean that as an insult to Monty. It's just what did he didn't have a draft pick. I mean, he extended Sabonis. Didn't really make any moves. Trying to defend it.
You know who voted for him.
Who?
Jason?
Jason, you voted for Monty McNair?
I thought it was the other executives.
Yeah. Yeah. What other executive?
Oh, Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Well, that could be it.
Why, though?
That's 100% it.
Just being his guy.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Monty voted for Daryl. Mm. Daryl voted for Monty.
Did Daryl get votes?
I think he did, actually. Did he? Maybe he did. I thought he did.
It was not reciprocated.
Oh. That's fine. I'm just saying. What?
I'm just looking at some of the...
Give us the top five.
Brad Stevens.
Oh, he won.
Sam Presti.
Number two.
Tim Connolly, Minnesota.
Okay.
Leon Rose, New York. Nico Harrison, Dallas.
See, I would have put Leon Rose up there a little bit more.
Okay. Raphael Stone, Houston.
They're turning it around.
Orlando,
that's
Calvin Booth in Denver.
Yeah.
Right before Monty, though, is the one that made me have a look. In ninth place, getting 2 second-place votes, Joe Cronin in Portland. Is it for moving Dame?
It's got to be for what they got for Dame, I guess, but woof. I just don't know what the – it's always funny. It's like, what is the criteria? Because, like, when Monty won it last year, he didn't really do a ton. What did he do in the offseason? Drafted Kevin Huerter? Drafted Keegan Murray and traded for Kevin Huerter, excuse me? But
and got Malik Monk, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they went from being so bad to...
Yeah, but I think most of it was... most of it was that he... I think most of it was the Sabonis move earlier. That's what it was.
Zach Kleeman from Memphis got a second place vote.
Who did?
Zach Kleeman from Memphis.
Zach Kleeman did, yes. Yeah, why? That's where I want to, like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. The NBA is always looking for content. You're telling me NBA TV couldn't run a 30-minute studio show.
Of GMs explaining their votes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, we know, you know, you spend most of the time talking about Brad Stevens, a little bit of time talking about Sam Presti, and let's look at the outliers. Hey, we're talking to Freddie McGibbelholter, GM for the blah, blah, blah. Hey, we noticed you gave Monty McNair a first place vote. What was your thought process behind that? How did you vote? And then they like put up on the screen these votes. Look, everyone wants these votes to be transparent. They do. But I don't. I understand and I like the idea of accountability as much as everybody. But there's a fatal flaw in making them transparent. It's going to take away a lot of the ability for people to vote for who they want to vote for.
Right.
Like, what if Monty McNair wanted to vote for the Warriors or Lakers GM? You know, you'd hope he would, but they're going to get crap for it. Or I don't like journalists being put in that position. Yeah. Look, if I want to vote for the most hated team rival, if I think that's who won it, I should be able to do that without any sort of issue coming back at me.
Right. Correct.
So I think we should do the voting.
Exactly. We'd have it all figured out.
Mike Brown just won his 7th straight coach of the year. Monty McNair, same.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox, clutch player, Sabonis MVP.
Yeah. Six man for sure, Malik.
He would have been unanimous. And in fact, he would have gotten all the first, second, and third place votes.
We would keep our integrity by not giving the Kings a defensive player of the year.
I don't know. Keegan stepped up.
Yeah, Keegan stepped up a lot this year, Jason. Not so fast.
Okay. Split votes.
Sixers and Knicks tonight. Yes, the Knicks hosting. The series.
Bing bong.
Does the series go to six?
No.
Yeah, I agree. Magic at Cavs.
Bing bong.
What did we say before?
So that series goes to six.
Watch this. This turns out to be the 1-7 game series. I haven't watched a second of it, like except for highlights. I haven't watched a second of. I kind of feel bad about it, but I don't care. Like if one of them gets down, you know, and I have to watch it, fine. When we get to the semis and the finals, okay. I feel bad as a small market guy. Like that's how other people they say that about the. But I just. Neither of those teams are excited. It's not just Orlando and Cleveland. I don't care. Hell, I'm interested in the Pelicans and the Thunder. Maybe part of it's West Coast bias. Yeah,
I'd rather have Orlando.
I agree with you.
But then they get Boston, most likely.
Whoever comes out of that series is getting smoked.
Yeah.
Pacers at Bucks.
Doesn't feel like a fair fight. I don't know how fair it would have been anyway. I would have liked to have seen it with Giannis, with Dame, but... Indiana doesn't have to apologize for that.
I, as a Kings fan, I'd take it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we were playing Oklahoma City, and Shai Gilgeous and Chet were out or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like the Pacers need to end it sooner than later, because if the Bucks win tonight,
yeah,
you know, it's just a little prolong it a little bit more, give them a little bit of confidence, maybe get some of the guys back, and just playing with fire.
100%. Sorry, they are playing with fire. Yeah. Somebody decided they needed to comment that they really do also like Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
Iron Eagle.
Yes.
We're not saying it with an accent. Iron Eagle. Is it weird? How have I never made that connection between Iron Eagle and Iron Eagle with Louis Gossett Jr.?
I never have.
Have you? Really? I feel like everyone in the world's made that connection but me. Iron Eagle.
I think when he first, I was thinking he was Ian.
Everybody did.
Ian Eagle.
Ian Eagle. Yeah. Probably was. He probably did it on purpose just to stand out. Hey, you know what movie I like? Iron Eagle. Giants at Red Sox. Iron Eagle. They'll say that out there.
Yeah.
Hey, Iron Eagle.
Pirates.
That's a respectable job. Yeah. Pirates of A's. When we come back, a very controversial, a very special crosstalk with Styles and Watkins. And I think,
Jason, put the lights on.
I think it's time to put the spotlight. Alan Styles.
Okay.
He's 100% going to move this, but I don't care. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Celebrity Birthdays and Crosstalk next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines. The biggest stories.
Hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Hey. All right. Spotlight on Styles and Watkins.
They don't like the lights.
Blinded by the lights. Wrapped up like a something, something, something in the night.
It's brighter than...
That is bright. That doesn't look good on the YouTube either.
Is that one's changing colors?
He's got it changing colors. Watkins doesn't like it. There, is that better now?
Oh, look, Alan's ready for it. Good. See?
Oh, look at that.
Look at this guy wearing sunglasses.
Always
in
keep
the,
a
in the
spare.
Studio.
Thank you. I brought a bag so I would forget it. Thank you.
There we go.
Such controversy.
I got a text yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't Whitey, it was Kyle, who never texts me.
Right.
And it was like, is this your salad bowl?
Right.
And I was like, am I offended that they think it's mine? But I said, no, I think it's Alan's. So I kind of threw you under the bus.
I mean, it is.
But it was yours. And he goes, and Kyle goes, what? No way. Thought 100% it was yours. So now I'm kind of offended.
Yeah, Dave leaving stuff in the studio? Like, what?
Right.
I
left a dog bed in the studio. What's the big deal?
Just the bed. Yeah.
And then my self-deprecating response was, why would you think that? Do I look like I eat salad? And he goes, yeah, you're right.
He said, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, which is also, that actually bothered me more, even though I set myself up for it.
You're supposed to say the opposite, Kyle.
We've all left stuff here. That's a rough one to leave.
Why?
Because it's a salad. It's all milky and dressing-y. Not even. Weird. Yeah, what do you mean not even? You're literally looking.
It's not like I left some fish.
No, no. I get it. And the lid's on, but it just, I don't know.
Look, man, I'm gonna stay quiet here. One time, this salad bowl between yesterday, today, and I know Whitey's gonna say something later. This is summer. This is all the King's fault. This is all the King's fault.
Why?
Because we're talking about salad bowls.
Oh, content. Well, it's okay. We had a great conversation earlier. Jason initiated building our own NFL booth for the upcoming season because there's been so many broadcasters switching around.
Yeah.
Just saying, I was going to give you this Will Clark card today. What?
I gave it to you.
Sorry. But you don't get it now because you left your salad bowl here. So let's do better. Okay. You know how like people come to a new job and it's like the new job and, you know, you're on the honeymoon phase and all that. Is the official cutoff of Allen Styles' honeymoon phase, like he's a vet, not a rookie anymore, is leaving the salad bowl? Is he getting a little
Let's
too...
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
He's a vet.
You know, I did remember I was getting on the freeway and I was just too far. I just wasn't good.
Yeah, you were good. Hey, by the way, the guy on line one, he's the crank caller from earlier. Let him know, would you? I tried to get Whitey and Kyle on. Neither of them are picking up.
Why?
Because I was also, apparently Whitey, somebody.
To talk about the salad bowl?
Somebody texted and said Whitey had a little bit of a tantrum yesterday about the studio.
Yeah, I guess. And I don't know where I left it. I thought I left it there, but apparently I didn't. But
it ended up over there, but maybe it moved
I
around.
Guess Whitey threw it in the trash yesterday and then had to probably take it out of the trash.
Yeah.
This is so, I'm going to stay quiet.
Wait, Whitey
on
threw
this.
Your salad bowl in the trash?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just going to stay quiet on this. We're going to act like Alan is the.
Why are we acting like this studio is like,
I mean,
pristine
I mean, I'm not
going to,
well, Chris,
like,
I'm not
going to. All over here.
I'm not going to destroy the allure to the listeners, right. But I mean, the sound. You guys say one more joke. I'm about to lose it.
We work in a.
I'm about 2 seconds away.
We work in a hellhole, and then at the top of the hellhole, we've got this studio that is crap off the walls, and Brock Purdy's hanging sideways. I mean, let's not act like we're we're in the middle of the lap of luxury here.
You're the one talking.
No, I'm talking about them. I'm not complaining. It was Whitey and Kyle there.
This whole thing is
How are you
crazy.
Misdirecting your hostility at me when I'm kind of defending you?
Are you?
I'm the one who's saying, why would anybody be so uptight? I was just saying, because here's where we were.
You said the honeymoon phase thing.
Oh, yeah. That was different. That was a different topic.
And you called them, tried to get them on.
I wanted to get them on. I really wanted to get one of them on to be like, guys, why are you tripping? And really? I know why Whitey is, because he's a grandpa.
He literally.
Yeah, it literally is a grandpa, so he's all old and crotchety.
I pay my taxes.
You can't have salad bowls, me.
And I purposely didn't listen back to that segment.
Right, because it would have upset you?
Probably.
All right, you're off the hot seat.
I'm leaving these on.
Let's make this a regular segment. Celebrity birthdays.
I can't see anything.
Brought to you by Carl. Don't leave any crumble cookies around.
No.
Why he's going to freak out.
My goodness.
Although Whitey does have a little bit of a leg to stand on. One time, I've told this story, one time on the night show, I'm a habitual nail clipper, and I clip them, and then I used to clip them and put them in the trash, but I forgot to put them in the trash. So when Whitey came in to do the morning show the next day, there was like all of my nails.
Talons.
My clippings.
That's pretty nasty.
Then whoa!
This was like literally 20 years ago, and I still feel terrible about it. Like,
yeah,
I'm so embarrassed about it. I felt so bad, especially because I lied to him at first.
You know,
I didn't do it.
You know what's funny about that? Prior job, there was Nailgate, but there was nobody owning up to it.
I owned it.
So it got passed along, and everyone said, hey, I don't know who's doing this. Yeah. Stop doing this.
Everybody makes mistakes. You just got to own up to them. No one's pretty. There's only one person ever that's perfect.
Who?
Will Clark. Jason Ross.
Okay.
The history of the world.
I thought you were going to say Jason Ross.
Well, happy birthday.
Close.
Travis.
Kelsey.
Travis.
Pastrana.
Travis the band.
Smiley.
Travis.
Oh, Scott.
Yes.
Oh, good job.
I get them goosebumps.
Boom. Boom.
Huh?
Boom.
How
boom.
Which one is that?
Today.
Doing the beat change.
Which one is that?
Give me the loot.
Sorry.
Give me the part I remember.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
That's
thank
pretty
you.
Good.
Hey, look, you know,
we're friends again.
I have rhythm.
Now we're not.
Travis Scott is 31.
Man, that's a tough one, but I think you're right on.
Boom.
I think he's 30.
I actually went down a YouTube rabbit hole once watching people react to Travis, that song, when the beat changed.
Oh!
They lose their minds. I love those videos.
I'll say 28.
32.
Christopher Lodge's the closest. 33.
Wow, I did not think he was that old.
Happy birthday, gal.
Godot.
Yeah.
Is there another?
I don't know.
Gal?
Gal.
Here's a gal.
Hey, gal. By the way, I know we're in this day and age, you know, with all due respect, meow. Okay, can I just say meow? I have a massive crush on her.
Okay.
I don't know how old she is, though, so I'm going to say 28, just because I don't want to offend her if she's listening.
She's probably 35.
Capital meow.
That's a good guess. I'll say 36.
M to the E-O.
38.
Christopher Law is the closest, 39.
Oh, my God. People really don't like her as Wonder Woman.
But why?
There's some funny clips out there.
Yeah, she's not the best actress, but she was in the Fast and the Furious franchise.
You know who's not the best actress? Kristen Stewart, but everybody loves her for some reason.
You always are talking about her.
She sucks. She's the worst. My God.
Big Charlie's Angels.
I love Dave. Hey, you don't have to like the same thing that everybody else is. No, everyone has their own opinion, but this person sucks.
Yeah, everybody has their own opinion, but facts don't care about your feelings.
Yep.
She sucks, right?
Yep.
Thank you. Back to you.
Happy birthday, Kirsten.
Dunst.
Yeah, not Kristen.
Kirsten Dunst. She's
Mary
up there
Jane.
Now, isn't she? No, I always remember from that vampire movie, the interview with the vampire. She was in that, I thought.
I was like, are you still talking about Kristen Stewart?
I think Kirsten Dunst is like 42.
That's probably right. She might be older, honestly.
Kirsten.
44.
Not Kristen. Yeah. Kirsten.
44.
45.
Hanging out with my son, Paxton. Chandler.
43.
Those are terrible.
We have a correct answer.
And
it's Carmichael Dave.
Oh, wow.
Kirsten Dunst and that weird tooth. She has a weird tooth. She's always had one. Kirsten Dunst has a weird tooth.
You're confusing her with Jewel.
Well, she has a couple of them. I mean, look who's talking. Come on, I'm just saying.
What is
that? Yeah, Jewel. Jewel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Isaiah.
Thomas.
Yes.
The old one. The new one.
The new one.
We're going to guess.
Okay.
I think it's the new one.
Isaiah Thomas.
The lefty.
You want us to guess the age?
Well, yeah, but you're guessing the Hall of Famer or the former king?
Hall of Famer.
No, I mean, you can guess. So you guys are going to guess 60s or 30s.
61.
Okay. I follow him on Twitter, though, so I feel like I would have saw something.
Is it the older one or the younger one?
I'm going to say 34.
So we go 34 and a 61.
Uh-huh.
Dave making fun of someone on Twitter.
I know. The worst. I'm the worst.
I'll split the difference. I'll just say 45.
63.
So which one are you guessing?
Exactly.
Oh,
63.
Can't
63.
Lose if you can't win.
We have a correct answer.
I have no idea.
Can't lose if you can't win.
I don't know what any of that meant.
Feelings are.
We have a correct answer.
And it is?
Chris correctly guessed Isaiah Thomas. Verlon, 63.
Hey,
it was that, not the pizza guy.
Okay,
happy birthday to Simone.
Biles.
Rickford.
Simone. Yeah, those are one of the two Simones in the
world. Basketball Hall of Famer.
Augustus.
Yes.
Who?
Simone Augustus.
Oh, Simone Augustus. Yeah. Simone, go ahead, Chris.
You, I think she's an
I'll old say 51.
Alan?
Way off.
Probably a little older.
47.
Chris?
52.
I'll say 53. Wow.
I think I was a little off.
Yeah. One person's in the right decade. That's Alan. 40.
For some told you. 40.
Told you.
What are you doing, Chris? You're making us look stupid.
Yeah.
And Chris. Let's go with happy birthday, Tony.
Tony
Danza.
Tony.
Khan.
The Tiger.
Running back.
No, Pollard. Dorsett.
For the Cowboys.
Pollard.
Yes.
For the Cowboys.
Chris said
it. Tony Pollard.
Scott's cousin.
He was bad this last season.
Yeah, he was
really
great.
Bad.
Tony,
bad isn't bad.
Tony Pollard is 27.
He's a bad.
28.
29.
26.
We have a correct answer, and it goes to Carmichael Dave.
Come on.
27. And our last one, happy birthday, Luis
Castillo.
Gonzalez.
Matos.
Luis
Gomez.
Luis from Sesame Street.
Luis Scola.
Former
NBAer.
Rockets.
Luis Scola.
Luis Scola.
Luis Scola is 44.
46.
He keeps taking my answer. 47.
46.
We have a correct answer, and it's 44, Carmichael Dave.
Look at me.
There you go.
Oh. Hey, stop crank calling! Sorry, we had the crank caller on. Caught up earlier and was very specific.
We'll
about
have
what
to
he
tell
was,
you off air.
Yeah, we'll tell you off
air. We heard.
Oh, no, did you?
Yeah, we heard.
Hey, what's coming up on the show today other than talking about that guy?
Matt George, ABC 10.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Okay.
Just look, this isn't me.
I know you like Harry Potter.
I'm not trying to be condescending. It's just knowing the market. The point of when I say what's coming up, you're supposed to pre-promote your show. And the point of pre-promotion is you're supposed to encourage people to listen. When you lead with Matt George, that's a questionable decision there is all I'm saying. Are you going to have him on twice so he can double down?
Go out.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Get out. Go.
Matt's a good guy.
I love that guy.
Matt George.
You going to ask him about the A's?
Yes, sir. Matt George, 11. And then we have Emil Fragoso. Yeah. That is at 1.
Not a snack, a meal. Fragoso, he'll join. The lovely and talented Matt George, please say hello to him. Local boy made good. And banter, right?
Yes, all of it. Witty.
For the suit, Christopher Laud. Yeah. For Jason Ross, I'm Carmichael Dave. Simone was there too. I don't know what for, but she was there. We love her. We'll be right back with these guys right after this. Bye-bye now.